There are four things that I want you to know that I'm going to kind of deal with tonight that I want you to know. Apostle's been talking about the I am-ness of God and how we are also I am. And it's been very powerful apostolic messages on the I am-ness of God. And so in me listening behind him and meditating on what he's saying, there were four things the Lord spoke to me that we as Christians are going to have to do and understand. So I'm going to put the first one on the board so you can see it and you can write it down. Number one, every challenge you face is to cause you to be exposed to a dimension of God that you would have never seen. I want you to change your perception on how you see challenges in your life. I want you to change how you see circumstances in your life, situations in your life that you don't really agree with or you're not really comfortable with, that you don't like happening to you. I want you to see this as an opportunity to be exposed to a dimension of God that you would have not been exposed to if this challenge hadn't showed up. All right. Number two. This is a tough one. Well, go back to the first one. I need to read the scripture with that one. Romans 8:28. It's mighty funny how we read these scriptures, but then we don't read these scriptures. You get what I'm saying? We read them, but then we don't read them. Because the statement I just made about every challenge that we face in our life, it gives us an opportunity to see God at a different dimension that we wouldn't have seen him if this challenge had not showed up, right? That's all Romans 8:28 is saying. Look at it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So it doesn't matter what is happening in our lives, God is causing it to work in our good. Are you seeing this? All right, you got to understand this if you're going to walk in the I am-ness of God. All right, you're going to have to understand this. Number two, you must take responsibility for every failure in your life, whether you caused it or not. Go to Genesis, the third chapter. You must take responsibility for every failure in your life, whether you caused it or not. Here's why. When you do not take responsibility for the situation in your life that you don't like, you do not have the power to change it. If you do not take responsibility, I didn't say you caused it. But not, just is it there? Yes, it's there. So something got to change. So who gonna change it? Me. So I cannot cower out because I'm in a situation I don't like, and because even if somebody else might have caused it in my life. So here we go. That means if I got family issues, if I'm going through a divorce, if I got a coworker causing me problems on the job, trying to hate on me on the job, if I feel like somebody is holding me back. It doesn't matter how much they hold you back until you decide to take the responsibility that something is going to change. Watch this, Genesis, the third chapter, the 12th verse. Watch what happens here, and we're going to come back to that later on in the message. Genesis, the third chapter, the 12th verse. So now, to just set it real quick, what's happening is Adam and Eve in the garden, they got the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan then bamboozled Eve. Eve bamboozled Adam. And watch what Adam said. They all eat the fruit now. Watch what Adam said. And the man said, "The woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Once again, I believe that if Adam would have taken responsibility for choosing to eat off that fruit, whatever it was, eat off that fruit, I believe God would have done something different than what he did. You see, do you understand? See, Satan is powerless. We don't even really talk about it, but Satan is powerless. He's under our feet. He's a defeated foe. The only power that he has is what we give him. Because it was, no matter how much he talked to Eve, Eve still decided to eat the fruit. No matter how much in love Adam was with Eve, he still decided to eat the fruit. And so when it all said and done, Satan is right where Satan wanted him, because now they all blaming him. Because Adam went to Eve, blamed it on Eve. You read further down, you see Eve turned around and blamed it on the serpent. And which was Satan, so now he got all the credit for them losing the dominion that God had given them. When it really wasn't him that caused it. All right, number three. God has already okayed all good things. He's already okayed all good things. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are what? Amen. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. So that means for all the promises of God. So that means every promise that God has ever spoken is yes and amen. Yes and so be it. So just go through all the promises of God in the Bible, and they're yes and amen. Case in point, I don't have time to go there. I'm giving a prelude to camp meeting. I don't have time to go there tonight, but just real quick. When God told Adam to name the animals, we have been mistaught that God influenced Adam. But if you go and read that, it said Adam named the animals and God agreed with him. Adam named the animals and God agreed with him. Because see, if God, watch this, God had just given us dominion over all the fish of the sea, all the birds now, everything creeping on earth. So if God comes in now and begins to influence his decision, that means that he's not a free moral agent. And that means we're really not made like God, because we can't think for ourselves. So everything, all the promises of God are yay and amen. All right, number four. He, meaning God, is always there to ensure us receiving all good things. We have got to make the shift from seeing God in heaven on the throne as a judge to God living within us as our Father. See, now he's both of them, but we have a choice of how we see him. Are you seeing this? Most of us see God still as a God on the throne as a judge. That he is. But we, because of the blood of Jesus, we have a right to see God as our Father, always with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. So now, if God has already okayed all good things and he's with me to ensure that I receive all good things, then the question is, why don't I have all good things? Say this with me. Religion kills. Kingdom gives life. So now it leads us to ask this question, why don't we have all good things? If I am is my Father, and he is, which makes me I am, right? Then there has to be something that's stopping me from receiving all the promises of God that have already been okayed, have already been paid for, have already been provided for. You got me? Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. We in the body of Christ are on the defense too much. The reason why some of us pray, read the word, is so we don't sin. That's why a lot of us read and pray so we don't sin. So we always focusing on something that has no power over us. See, this is why you got this next generation ain't really trying to hear that. Be not trying to hear. Because see, the question, let me ask you this question. Why is sin wrong? I know you're going to say because God said so. But the question is, why did God say it's wrong? Before you go to Genesis, go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Because see, we've been taught to focus on not sinning instead of living. So when we're so busy trying not to sin that sometimes God tells us things to do that's not sinning, but we're so conscious on focus on not sinning that we don't take advantage of what God is telling us to do. That's a mindset. That is a religious mindset. A very religious mindset. That's hell and brimstone mind, fire and brimstone mindset. We're so busy trying to stay out of hell that we can't enjoy heaven on earth. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now listen to this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lay aside every weight and the sin, just saying anything that causes us to be separated from God. Let us lay all that aside, so and the sin which has easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So sin causes us not to arrive someplace. What we as Christians have been focusing on is not really trying to arrive no place. Because really, if you look up the Greek word for sin, it means to miss the mark. So wait a minute. I'm supposed to be shooting for a mark if I'm going to miss it. But religion had taught us to just avoid sin. And hadn't taught, all right, go to Genesis the first chapter. Watch this. Go back to Genesis. Because if Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, mean redemption, redeemed, mean to put us back in our former position, we have to look at the original position and see where we were. In Genesis the first chapter, the 26th verse, this is the original position. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Next verse. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God originally created us to have dominion. Not only did we have dominion, We had dominion in a place that was already perfect. They were in the Garden of Eden. And the only, watch this, the only thing God told them not to do was to touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you seeing this? So my point for saying this is that we as believers have to begin to understand that we are to live, and the Holy Spirit will help us avoid sin. Our praying and our spending time with God is not so much for God to tell us how to get out of sin. Y'all looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So Satan will try to get us to focus on the minor and forget about John 10 and 10. He wants to focus on John 10 and 10, the A part, but not the B part. So we always focus on the thief killing, coming out, but the steal, kill, and destroy, but we forget that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Watch what it says. It's for he has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what? That we might be made the righteous of God in him. Now, I don't see in that scriptures where there's no conditions on what you do. It simply said that he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. The righteous of God simply means that I am in right standing with God, meaning that I am top notch in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, there's nothing wrong with me. Are you seeing this? So I have to embrace the righteousness of God. I have to begin to embrace it in a way which allows me to live and not live trying to avoid sin. Are you seeing this? Go with me to Galatians 1. Now, this one here, so I saw this other day when we were doing our daily reading with Apostle. It was in the book of Galatians. I saw this. And, man, I saw this in this scripture here. It's going to take us out of heaven and bring us to this present moment. Galatians 1 and 4. Go down. Talking about Jesus, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this. Uh-oh. So now, from this present evil world. So now if all the promises of God are yeah and amen, and Jesus died to deliver me from all of the present evil in this world, so whatever promise that God has promised me that this world is trying to stop me from having, Jesus died so that I could be delivered from it now. So I have to get in my mindset. I have to get it in my spirit that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is for my present moment. Listen, heaven is going to take care of itself. But streets of gold are in heaven. The gates are made of pearl in heaven. But I need some money here. I need my house here. I want my car here. I want my perfect family here. I want my healthy body here. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, go back there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. That we might be made the righteous of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God. I think it's Romans 4:21. Go there. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I'm talking about Abraham, right? Go to the 22nd verse. There it is. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Go back to 21. And being what? Persuaded. That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. We're talking about Abraham in the Old Testament being fully persuaded. And God said, because you were fully persuaded, I'm going to count it to you for righteousness. Here it is. We're on this side of the covenant. Jesus died, took away our sins so that we might be made the righteous of God. But the problem is we're not fully persuaded. Are you seeing this? Why are we not fully persuaded? Why? What is the problem? Why are we not fully persuaded? We're not fully persuaded because, as Apostle is saying, we get information on the outside instead of getting information from the inside. What caused Adam and Eve to fall in sin is they were getting information from the outside and not from the inside. Go to Genesis. Genesis the third chapter. Watch this. Genesis the third chapter. Verse 7. Now this is after they've eaten the fruit. All right. After they eat, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. That's a key statement. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now remember that statement now. They knew that they were naked. All right. And they sewed fig leaves together. Now, mind you now, come out of our current mindset of being naked. All right. Nobody want to walk in here naked. We already know this. But you got to realize these are the first two on the face of the earth. They've been walking around the whole time. Wasn't even thinking about it. But as soon as they got information from somewhere else. All right. The eyes open, they knew they were naked. All right. Because it's a good place I want to get to. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All right. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Verse 11 is very important. Look at verse 11. And God said, who told thee that thou was naked? Watch this. Not only were they told by an unauthorized a source, but they were even told how to feel. God say, who told thee that thou wasn't naked? Then that's when God realized, hast thou eaten off this tree, which I commanded thee that thou should not as eat of? That's the question. Who told you? Let's work with that a moment. Who told you that you could get the house of your dream? Who told you that situation you're facing is not going to turn around? Who told you that? Who is telling you this? It ain't God, because all the promises of God are. So really, essentially, we can decide what we want to happen and God will agree. That's how Adam named animals. Adam named them and the Bible said God agreed with him. So if there's something in our life that we don't like, it's because we've gotten information somewhere that wasn't from God. And we let it incubate long enough in us until it manifested in our lives. See, this. See now, from some of the looks of your face, some of the situations you've caused, some of the situations you're in, you didn't cause them. So now you're trying to figure out, what did I do? Or if I didn't cause it, why did it happen to me? It's because we as humans have the issue of drifting. We don't guard our minds. So stuff slip in on us and begin to incubate in us, and then we manifest it. Don't even realize we manifesting it. Because I am, that's who we are. We made after God's image. I am becomes whatever it wants to become. So Satan's whole issue is, if he can get you to think a certain way, it will become. That's why Satan lied to Adam and Eve and told them, you surely ain't gonna die, after God had told them. So when they ate off the tree, they became what Satan wanted them to become. Are you seeing this? Who told you that you couldn't make X amount of dollars a year? Who told you that? Who told you that that you can't have the wonderful family life? Because the reason why it's not happening is because somebody told you something. Now watch this. Here's the problem. Y'all looking for a person. Sometimes y'all even looking for Satan. And sometimes it's not him. Because everything, more than humans, have voices. The way you think about yourself has a voice. What you read has a voice. What you take into your psyche, into your mind, your thought process, has a voice. Here's why the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Here's why. They so busy living. Now watch this now. They're busy living and they sin. And here's what sin does. Hebrews 12 and 2. It sets you back. So they'll get out, they'll live and just progress, leave Christians in the dust. They'll be in sin and everything, and what they don't realize is sin just gonna bring them on right back down. We so scared of sin. That when God gives us an opportunity to go do something, we're worried about, oh, Lord, I don't want sin. You're not going to sin. So our mindset stops us from pursuing what God wants us to pursue because we're so busy praying, trying to stay out of sin. Adam and Eve were busy living. And Satan came in and told them a lie. But that can't happen no more. Because of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Do you know what that's really saying? What that really saying is, whatever God has good, I deserve it. I deserve it. I don't care if you just come straight out the streets. I don't care if you told a lie 30 seconds ago. Because of the blood of Jesus, I deserve it. So here it is. I know y'all ain't lied 30 seconds ago. And most of y'all ain't here. I know you ain't come out the streets. But some of y'all, deep down, really don't believe you deserve it. You know why? Because you haven't told yourself enough that you deserve. Listen, either I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus or I'm not. And I am. So if I am, it's not hinged on what I do. Jesus came out of the water. He came out of the water after John the Baptist baptized him. Jesus hadn't performed not one miracle. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. Jesus hadn't done anything. God looked at him and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You have to begin to tell yourself that I deserve this. I got a little habit that I got now that I've created in myself. Every time an apostle speaks over me, I repeat it. He asks to repeat it. I repeat it, and I say to myself, I deserve it. Money just keep on coming. And I deserve it. Don't worry about how. 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 Deserve it first. Yes. Now why is that? Because God originally made us to deserve everything good. So here's the question. Here's some questions you have to ask yourself. See, some of y'all are deep down blocking yourself from receiving what God has already planned for you to have because you don't know how it's going to happen. And watch this. Because you don't know how it's going to happen, you already made yourself feel that you don't deserve it. Just because you can't figure out how it's going to happen doesn't mean you... How many of y'all get birthday gifts? Did you know you was going to get them? But did you receive them?
Yes.
You know why you received them? Because inside yourself you said, I deserve this. You didn't know you was going to get the birthday gift. You didn't even know how it was going to come. You really didn't know what it was going to be. But every time somebody gave you a gift, you said, thank you. Because why? Because you felt worthy of the gift. Paul said, be seated, watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. We've been using this to make Paul seem humble. But this was the most powerful statement that Paul ever made about himself. We like to use this scripture to humble Paul down. But Paul didn't mean to be humbled by this particular scripture. So therefore, we use the scripture in trying to humble ourselves down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. This is Paul talking. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace, which he bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, we use that scripture to try to be humble. I am what I am, only but by the grace of God. You know what Paul was really saying? Paul was really saying, the grace that is, that my grace of walking in apostleship, I deserve it. Watch this. He said, was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Watch this. Even though I've labored more than you all, yet not I. Paul said, it wasn't because I worked. Even though I worked harder than anybody else, even though I studied the Word of God more than anybody else, but that ain't why I deserve to be an apostle. I deserve to be an apostle because I chose to realize the righteousness of God that is in me. See, people don't understand why. Some people can't take apostle. Some people just can't. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why, but they just can't. He walk into a place and he first of all, he know who he is. He know what he wants. He look people straight in the eye, you know, because he has no ill will about who he is, what he deserves. See, Paul, we use this scripture, and we like to emphasize the grace of God, I am what I am, and all of it is really trying, for us, trying to deflect the responsibility of us not drifting. It tries to deflect the responsibility of me stepping up and realizing who I am. So just in case I don't get it, or in case things don't change, I can't be blamed for it. So now it's a vicious cycle. So now if I can't be blamed for it, that means I hadn't taken responsibility for it, which means I wasn't going to change that no way. I want that to sink in. Paul said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. So everything I am, it came by the grace of God, but I am. I deserve it. So now you need to tell yourself, I deserve this new car. Now let's go ahead and be real. Let's go ahead and be real up in here. How many of y'all have really ever said that to yourself? Here's a couple of good questions. Is the car good? It's not like it's a one of a kind car. It's not like it's a classic, it's one of a kind and somebody else already owns it, right? So I'm not envying nobody. I'm not going after what somebody else is. Right? So if it's for sale and it's good, and I want it, then I deserve it. See, if you don't start there, you can't start the process of manifestation into your life. The house you want. I deserve it. Listen. You can think of everything that your heart desires and say that you deserve it, and you're still not infringing on what God got for somebody else. So now, watch this. Jesus told the disciples, that woman broke the alabaster box, poured it on Jesus' feet, and anointed Jesus and poured it on him and anointed him for his burial. And Judas got hot and said, what waste is this? Jesus said, look, the poor you're going to have with you always, but me you're not going to have always. I feel the same way. Because me enjoying life ain't making nobody poor. So you got to think like this now. Because watch this. For you to think that you living good, you living healthy, you having all the promises of God in your life working is causing somebody else to go without. You probably not in real prosperity. You probably got it on credit because you already have a scarcity mentality. Because when God created the earth, think about this. When God created the earth, he not only put enough there for Adam and Eve. He not only put enough there for the people that live in 1646. He didn't just put enough there for the people that live in 1849. He put enough there for everybody living in 2016. So my, what I'm saying, there is enough for everybody. So if there's enough for everybody, then everything that I want, I deserve it. You ain't hurting nobody by wanting the house you want. You ain't hurting nobody by wanting the car you want. You ain't hurting nobody by wanting to make the money per year that you want to make. I deserve it. See, either I'm the righteous of God or I'm not. If I'm the righteous of God, I deserve it. See, be seated. Be seated. Now I'm about to say something very, 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 very strong. Some of y'all need to get the prodigal son attitude and lose the older boy attitude. Some of y'all need to get the attitude of the prodigal son, and because most of us are sitting as the older boy. We're religiously laboring, and while other people get blessed, all the things happen, the good things happen to other people, we think it's because of our much praying and our much alms, God, why it ain't happening to me? When that prodigal son, he left, went in sin, but the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, why am I out here living like this when my father has it all? He got himself together. And watch this. He watch this. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He came back to his father and said, look, I'll be one of your servants. But the father said, no, you my son. Go get a robe. Go get the ring. Hey, go get the fattest calf. You know what that means? When the Bible says he, when he came to himself, he realized, I deserve this. It has nothing to do with what he had done. It had nothing to do with what he is doing, and it had nothing to do with what he was going to do. It's all because he was a son. You got to tell yourself, I deserve this. So you got to get it in your mind, I deserve this. See, what sin does, maybe seated. Be seated. What sin does, Romans 8 and 1, it says, now there's no condemnation to them that walk in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Sin brings condemnation. It brings condemnation. See, first of all, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. If you let it linger, conviction becomes condemnation. So now, condemnation now begins to tell you how you're not worthy. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Can I teach y'all how to take communion now? Can I teach y'all how to take communion? Go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I think it is 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Is that the way where Paul's talking about the communion, 11th chapter? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, 11th chapter? It's first? Okay, it's first. Let's go, that's first. 1 Corinthians 11. What verse? 23rd. All right, you know, go to verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, religion, now watch this now. Religion have told us, and some of us still do it, I got to be clean before I come take communion second Sunday. That's religion. But let's think about this. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. If the blood of Jesus made me clean, then my behavior ain't gonna make me clean. Because it's only the blood of Jesus can make me clean. So me taking communion, even if I've sinned the night before, is not necessarily taking it unworthily. I knew I wasn't gonna get no amens on that one. I knew it, but I'm about to work it out. I knew it. Notice what this says. It says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You know what that's saying? When you drink and you take that bread and you drink that juice and you don't think you deserve it, you're doing his body and the blood injustice. Some of y'all just got delivered. That's what it means to do it unworthily. It means that matter of fact, taking communion, even if you messed up 5 minutes before, taking communion ought to reaffirm that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when I take communion, I know that I deserve. Come on now. I'm not gonna look at it another time and say, it's once you're born again, it's impossible for you to be unworthy. Jesus' blood either cleanses or it doesn't. And it does. Either it made me the righteous of God or it didn't. And it did. So it's not based on my behavior. Now watch this. What's the problem with my behavior and sin? Well, the problem with my behavior and sin that is when I begin to progress in the abundant life that God has given me and I fall in sin, sin drags me back to where I was. See, sin is powerless against us. But we in the church have been so focused on not sinning that we have not been living. We've been so scared of 1 Timothy 6 and 10 that we have talked ourselves out of having all the money we want. Unworthily, in that particular passage, just simply means when you take communion and you don't think you deserve to take it. When you take communion not knowing that I am the righteousness, I am healed, I am rich, I am whole, you done wasted Jesus' blood and his body getting beat on the cross. Because the main reason that Jesus died on the cross was for John 10 and 10 B. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So whenever you allow yourself to see something you want, if you see something you want, at least tell yourself you deserve it. Just start the process. You might not pursue it. You might change your mind later on, but at least tell yourself, I deserve it. Because why? All the promises of God. See, this, when we begin to take off the religious eyeglasses and begin to read the word of God, here it is in the Old Testament. He said he gave us power to get wealth. And here it is, we got people going around not realizing they deserve to be wealthy. If we didn't deserve it, why he gave us power? Sound like God kind of schizophrenic if that's the case. We supposed to be rich or we ain't supposed to be rich. We supposed to be healthy or we ain't supposed to be healthy. We supposed to be healed or we ain't supposed to be healed. Oh, wait a minute. We supposed to be healed, but yet he put sickness on us. To chastise us. So all that mixes together and it drops down in your deep down in your insides into your soul. And now you subconsciously or deep down inside begin to say, I don't deserve this. I'm just trying to make it to heaven. See, folks, we need to start telling ourselves that every time Apostle speaks an affirmation over me. Man, I deserve this. I don't care. Y'all about to laugh. I don't care if me and Chantel just got through fighting. And I was wrong. I still got to go ask God for forgiveness. I may still got to ask God for forgiveness. In the midst of that, I'm going to say I deserve it. Either the righteousness of God is true or it's not. So now, watch this. I'm closing here. I have to take responsibilities for my failures. If I don't take responsibility for my failures, then I lost the power to change them into success. So whatever in your life that you consider is failing, whatever situation you don't like, you begin to tell yourself you deserve the opposite of that. Your first marriage ain't work out. The second marriage ain't work out. I deserve this third marriage. Because if not, and you really want to be married, and you don't feel that way, then you're going to stay by yourself. See, even, I don't care what the situation is. Pregnant out of wedlock, it's done now. It's done. Whatever good I want, I deserve it. We have to begin to tell ourselves that we deserve it. Whatever it is, I deserve it. Whatever you want, I deserve it. Me deserving it and me wanting it ain't taking nothing out of nobody else because I'm not stealing it. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. That's the Ten Commandments. I ain't stealing it. I ain't killing nobody for it. Thou shalt not kill. I ain't doing none of that. I just want it. And I deserve it. Now watch this. Listen to me. Watch how this works now. The Bible says God will give us the desires of our heart. If I don't think I deserve it, how is that process going to start? How is the process of manifestation going to start and I really don't want it? Or I think I'm unworthy of it. I think I don't deserve it. How is God going to walk me through the process of manifestation? See, what we want is we don't want the responsibility of making it happen. We just want it to happen. We want to drift with our minds, drift with our thought process, drift with our thinking. And just expect God to just take a wine and just boop. It begins with you deciding. Adam and Eve fell in sin because they first decided. So now watch this. If they decided to sin and they got it, then why I can't decide to be rich and get it? Decide to be healthy. And get it. Decide to have a happy family life and get it. But I first have to realize I deserve it. You need to tell yourself, I deserve it. Listen, don't tell nobody else around you they deserve it. No, we ain't doing that tonight. We ain't doing it. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor. No, you tell yourself, I deserve it. I ain't thinking about my neighbor right now. I think about my neighbor later. Matter of fact, the Bible says I shouldn't think about my neighbor until I thought about myself. That's Matthew 22 and 37. Love your neighbor. Watch this. The reason why it's taking so long for prosperity to take root in the body of Christ is because of Matthew 22, 37, and 38. If I don't want prosperity for myself, is only being reflected when I get jealous when somebody else prospers. So when I see somebody else prospering, and the first thing come to my mind is, who did they bamboozle? I wonder who they messed over. I wonder how many people they had to lie to get that. Then what you're really saying is, I don't want it. So now you can't even begin the process of it coming to you, because you already revealed that you really don't want it by how you don't want your neighbor to have it. So one of the ways, I do this all the time, man, I'm quick. When I see somebody got something that's nice, I'm shouting them out. I'm complimenting them. I'm telling them. I'm letting them know they deserve it. Enjoy yourself. Because what they got ain't take away from what I'm gonna get. Because I believe there's enough for everybody. I'm gonna see this. Lift your hand, you off an envelope, the ushers are in the aisle to serve you. Now don't just start telling yourself you deserve it. Sometimes, you know, people don't realize this, and I can tell you some of what things that Apostle does. Apostle has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He got about 15 TVs in the house. And most of the time, they're off. The reason why they're off is because he's most of the time shaping his own thought process. You know, Mr. Melvin Leverett told me years ago, he said, man, I used to be a part of his church and he passed. But he a lot of things that about business I learned from him. He called me one time, he said he was doing real estate, and he called me one time, he said, Lee, would you come ride me? It was a Sunday evening. I was in college. It was a Sunday evening. He said, would you come ride with me? And I was kind of talking slow. I was talking slow because they had some games on that afternoon, NBA games I wanted to watch. I'm in college. Come on, I wanted to watch some games, you know. And he said, and he kind of picked it. He said, you're talking slow. He said, what you plan on doing? I said, well, Mr. Melvin, I had a couple of games I want to watch. He said, Leroy Jr., let me tell you something. He said, when you sitting there watching them games, they're making their money. He said they've already gone through their thought process and gotten to that point. And while you're watching them, they're getting paid and you're not. I say, Mr. Melvin, you know what? I say, where you want me to meet you? Your mind is being shaped all the time, whether you know it or not. Your thought process is being shaped all the time. In my house, I take the affirmations that Apostle does, and I have them playing over and over and over, and I'm repeating them. I sit there for a moment, not long, 5-10 minutes, and whatever he has said, I imagine it happening to me. And then I tell myself, I deserve this. What am I doing? I'm meditating. When I meditate, it opens up my mind to see things and opportunities that I hadn't seen before. Instead of letting somebody else shape my thought process, I'm shaping my own. Even when I watch TV, do I watch TV? Yes, I watch TV, but I'm very definite. I don't sit there and flip through the channels trying to find something to watch. If I got to sit there and find something to watch, I could be finding a book to read. I could be finding time to meditate. So if I do watch TV, I'm ask my kids, I'm definite about what I watch. Now, I'm real particular. Now, I like karate movies. You know where the words don't match the mouth? I'm very definite. If I feel like watching TV, I'm going to watch that. I'm not sitting there just flipping through the TV and flipping through the TV and flipping and flipping and flipping, and then time my mind begin to drift. Next thing you know, something show up in my life that I don't want. And it came from something that I've been watching, somebody I've been talking to, I should have been talking to, having a conversation, a frivolous conversation I should have been having, and this thing show up in my life. All because I manifested, because I let it in my thought process.